Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we have funny man Perry Kurtz, the myth, the legend. He is old school, but he's not an old fool. He's worked with every comedian out there, and he's going to talk about each and every one of them. He's not also a stand-up comedian. He made this into a business. He plays at old folks' homes, elk lodges. He opens for bands. He does stand-up for corporations. He's never had a real job and always made a living making people laugh. Now, why don't we get funny man Perry Kurtz on the phone and let's see what he has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Perry, it's Johnny from Actors 2020 Podcast.
What's happening, Johnny?
Hey, so you're the number one corporate comedian?
I do a lot of corporate work in Los Angeles and around the country, so that's part of my title. The only show that is based purely on the audience. I have some material I talk about myself, but I motivate them. I get them laughing. I get them involved. I talk to them. Who's from out of town? Who's the oldest? Who's the youngest? Anybody new here? Who's still married? Anybody just coming out of a marriage? So I get them to talk about themselves, and then we revel in their successes, and that makes them feel good. So I'm happy with where I am. Been doing this for 45 years.
Wow.
And now moving into private speaking and keynote speaking, doing the same type of thing. So.
And you also teach other comedians, like up-and-comers, to learn comedy?
I've had 641 private students.
Wow.
Where they paid me, usually at least $100 an hour. What I do is I have them tell me a story. We videotape it. Then we look at the videotape and I go, all right, see here, this is what you did. That was funny. See where you did this? This is funny. So we pull out their strengths, what it is that makes them interesting and what makes them funny. And then they go out, they do it at 3 or 4 open mics in a week. And then we come back and we do it again.
Wow.
But when I meet somebody who's new, I'll sit down with them and give them a whole spiel and explain them. It's about personality. It's about real stories, real emotion, things like that. And I don't charge them.
So on America's Got Talent, to get somebody like you, do you go through the regular audition process or is it different?
They contacted me.
Okay.
I did what I do. And I gave them a CD and they said, what song do you want us to use? I said, it doesn't matter. And then they said, how do you do that? 35 years ago, I was sitting in with a live band in San Francisco and I looked up and I described a Tide commercial. Then I looked on the other TV and described a football game. And then somebody walked by and I read his t-shirt and it started. So I went to a rap battle down in Compton and I walked out with $1,000. But with America's Got Talent, they treated me so nicely. I went out there. They put on music I never heard. The place went crazy. They edited out the entire dance.
Wow.
When I started to rap, they shut off my microphone to the audience and told them to stand up and boo me.
And for all your efforts, what was the dollar amount they paid you?
You get absolutely nothing unless you win. And when I went in to do the second audition for America's Got Talent last year, I went in and the guy looks at me and goes, wait a minute, aren't you the guy we screwed? And I said, yeah, what happened? He says, we had 3 sets of small children on the show and they were all terrible. And in every episode, somebody has to be kicked off. That's the way it goes on reality shows.
Yeah, all TV's like that. When you were on that court show with Gloria Allwright, was that scripted too?
No, basically I was just told who I was supposed to be and where we were going to go with it.
Guy, I mean, it's fascinating looking at all your stuff online. I mean, you were like on the Love Connection way back in the day. So when you were on the Let's Make a Deal, was that ad-lib too when Wayne Brady was there?
They had told him that I was a rapper.
Okay.
So they let me rap, and then they let me rap and dance again. And then they had me dance a commercial. And I wound up winning, I think, $1,200.
What's the casting process?
Well, they have a tent outside of the studio. And you go through a long line. And then you come up and they say, all right, who are you? What's your story? Blah, blah, blah. And if I had a really interesting costume, could I come down? And so 2 weeks later, they said, come back, you're going to get called down. And sure enough, I got called down. So I have a demo on my YouTube page of what I send out. And it's got all the different TV shows I've been on. And it's about 5 minutes long. It gives an idea of what I do.
So Booby Trap, is that the one in West Hollywood, Scott Neary's? Is that where you performed?
Yes.
Okay. My friend produces that. She used to live in my building, Miranda.
Oh, I know Miranda. Yeah.
I think they gave you more time than most people. They usually cut you off at 3 minutes, and you went longer than that.
He loved that key chart. He just loved the reaction that that got.
I'm a big TV buff, especially back in the 80s, and I used to watch Partners in Crime, and I see that you were on there. Did you meet Linda Carter and Lonnie Anderson?
I met them both because we spent a lot of time as an extra. But while we were hanging around, Linda Carter came out. She hugged me. She gave me a kiss. She goes, "You're funny. You're going to be a star someday."
So when you wrote for The Tonight Show, was that with Johnny Carson or Jay Leno?
That was Jay Leno. I wrote for them. I had a fax in 100 jokes every week. That was the minimum. And I would get paid $50 per laugh. So Jimmy Brogan, his best buddy and the head writer, he says, "You know what? You would be perfect for writing for the show." So I did that for about 10 years, and that was writing 100 jokes from my house. So the money was good, but their stage manager called up, and he said, "We're going to put you up front. And when Jay's done giving his spiel, you're going to run up and hug him." So Jay was on his little platform, and he says, "Go get him." So I walk up to Jay, and I go, "Back up, I'm hugging you." And I hugged him, and he leans into my ear, and he goes, "Perry, that's enough."
So how do you get on the James Corbin show? Did they call you?
They actually saw me at Booby Trap.
Wow, that's great. Because you killed it. You were great on that.
That I could not have asked for it to go better. He is unquestionably the nicest person I have ever met. And they all said that of the hosts they've had, he was the nicest.
So how do you get gigs like opening up for bands, Chris Isaak and like Hootie and the Blowfish and Sammy Hagar, Fleetwood Mac? How do you get those gigs?
Well, let's go back to the earliest one, which was Hootie and the Blowfish. Now, when I lived in San Francisco, I was the MC and manager and a dancer at the only male strip show in San Francisco for women for 4 years. So Chris Isaak was one of the bands that played there. And he came up to me before he went in and he says, "I was out at the jam session a couple weeks ago down on Grand Avenue, and I saw you singing with a band." And he had seen me do that. He says, "Would you sit in with my band?" So I wound up sitting with him. Now, a couple of years later, there was a band playing called the Alameda All-Stars. And I walked up to them and I said, "Hi, I've got an unusual question for you. I have an unusual talent. I make up songs about what the owner's doing as they're doing it to anything you can play, as long as it's not in the key of B." And from up in the balcony, I hear a guy go, "Lit him up." Well, I get done and Greg Hallman comes walking down the steps. And he says, "Hi, how you doing, man? I saw you next door. You really got a great talent. I hope to see you again." About a month later, they were the band at the Exotic Erotic Halloween Ball. So they brought me out. I walked behind the guitar player, played some lead guitar, played some keyboard. And the next year, he got me the exact guitar I used to have. So I got to play guitar with the Greg Allman Band. And then I was at a jam session at a place called the Baked Potato down in Ventura. I'm getting ready to play, and this guy with wild blonde hair and a red leather jumpsuit comes up and says, "Hey, man, I heard about you. Can I back you up? Can I play your guitar while you do your stuff?" I said, "Sure." And then we're bouncing off each other like real rock stars. And afterwards, he gives my guitar. He goes, "Man, that is a great act. Nice to see you again." And a guy walks over. He says, "What'd you think of Sammy?" I said, "Who was?" He goes, "That's Sammy Hagar. He was the lead singer in Van Halen." So my reputation as this improvisational singer is everywhere. I can go into almost any karaoke bar and I'm recognized.
You've worked with so many like comedians, Whoopi Goldberg, Bill Maher, Milton Berle, Sam Kinison. You even hung with Robin Williams as well.
Robin and I were very close. I met him when I moved to San Francisco in 1979. So I was hosting a regular open mic on Tuesday and Thursdays at a place called the Holly City Zoo. That's where we would all go hang out. And he would come in on Tuesday and Thursdays and get up with me, and we would open the show with 45 minutes to over an hour of improv. But one time in San Francisco, a group called War, they said, "We're going to be playing at the Last Day Saloon." Robin walks in, and they all start hooting and hollering for him. And he gets up, and he just keeps repeating the same line over and over again. And they literally booed him off the stage. But here's what Robin's genius is. Robin absorbs everything. And so he was frequently accused of stealing material. But he would say things and not even realize that he had heard it from somebody else. And if anybody walked up and said, "You did my joke," he would just pull out $100 and pay him. Now, in 83, he did my line. He showed up the next night, and in front of 22 comedians, he handed me $1,000. And he looked, he said, "I'm sorry, I have no self-control. If I ever take a joke, please let me know."
Wow. What about Rodney Dangerfield? I loved him.
I met Rodney having dinner with Bill Cosby at Enrico's, Enrico Meducci's, a big fancy restaurant. And I was allowed to sit with the celebrities. And I met Rodney, and we became good friends because he was originally from Philadelphia, which is where I was from. But when I would go to New York, he would tell me, don't bring any money. I flew first class. I stayed at a Marriott hotel. I had a giant suite, and I was getting paid $3,200 for the week.
Yeah, I like those old school people, like even Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I worked with him 9 times at the Comedy Store. He was a very, very sweet man. Knew Bill Maher back in the early days.
Andrew Dice Clay as well.
Andrew was still Andrew Clay. He was an impressionist.
Okay.
And then one night he was doing Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which he did great.
I love that.
And somebody heckled him. And a bunch of us said, you know, we're going to create a character for you from what you just did out there. You know, a bunch of comics got together and he became Andrew Dice Clay. I mean, I remember when I lived in San Francisco, this blonde-haired woman came to town, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Another female comic came looking for an apartment. And she came to my place. She said, oh, I can't live with comedians. And that was Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
So I have run into everybody. Mark Curry, he got up one night at the Punchline in San Francisco and told everybody that he saw me do comedy 3 years ago, and I motivated him to become a comedian.
Wow, that's a compliment. What about Jerry Seinfeld?
Here's a story about Jerry. So in 74, I went up to the comic strip in New York, and as I got off the stage, I walked past Jerry Seinfeld, who was walking to the stage, and he touched my arm and says, hang out. Now, he didn't have the TV show.
Right.
But he was headlining nationally. He was well known in the comedy circuit. So that's it. That's the only time I ever met him.
Wow. What about Roseanne Barr?
I worked with her for a week outside of Denver, Colorado. And she was the headliner. I was the featured act. She cut my time back 30 minutes to 20 minutes. When you're the feature act, you got to be considerate to the headliner. But she was very nice to me.
So you have a daughter named Bella. Did she do stand up as well?
She did. That was years ago. She hasn't done it in quite a while. I snuck her up on stage at the Comedy Store when she was about 10 years old in front of, I don't know, 400 people and killed. I mean, the little girl gets on stage and she gets done. She goes, thanks. You guys are great. Try the veal. So my daughter has since given up that. Now she's into dancing. If you go to my Facebook page, which is called Perry Kurtz, P-E-R-R-Y, like as in Perry Ellis, K-U-R-T-Z. If you scroll down 4, 5, 6 videos, you will see my daughter doing her solo dance. And she is absolutely amazing. You know, she doesn't understand why she's such a good dancer. I go, honey, I was a dancer. I used to dance on American Bandstand in Philadelphia. That's how far back I go.
And after that one job that you said you quit and you had 65 grand in the bank, you've never had a real job since then?
Nope. Only found ways of making a living, making people laugh.
Would you do anything different looking back?
Not really, no, because I've learned that you do what you think is right.
Exactly.
I'm happy with my life.
So somebody up and coming, what's your best advice for them?
Well, take real stories. Everybody, even you, has got a story that when you tell people, they laugh. You get somebody to videotape you so you can see what you did and what worked, and you tell those stories. The problem that most people make when they first start is their timing. Too many words in a row. So I tell them, slow the hell down. And it's just a process of doing it over and over and over. And then once you have 30 minutes that you can take a video of, then you start sending it out to the bookers on the road. And you go out on the road as an opener or an MC and you practice. And you get more and more material. And then when you got 45 minutes, then you move up to a feature or middle act. And when you got a good solid hour, then you become a headliner.
Wow, that's great advice. Instead of just writing some silly jokes that's not related to you, you just look back into your own life and take the comedy from there.
I mean, I'm fortunate that I've always been a storyteller. This is just the way I am. No matter where I go, people are laughing. Back in 2005, the comedy club started dying because of all the live comedy on television. So people stopped going out. So I branched off and started doing senior shows. And now I do seniors and hospitals and Elks Lodges and private parties and corporate work and events. So I had to make a separate website called VintageEntertainment.us, which is for people that don't want a dirty show.
Right.
But they can see what I do by being clean.
That's awesome. So in closing, is there anything else you'd like to say?
You want me to do a wrap?
Yeah.
Here we go. What I'm going to do, I don't really know. He's been trying to call me for days at a time. I'm up here doing the stuff and I rhyme. I don't know how I do it. You know, I don't care, but I get up, tell you what I see out there. The people in the audience, they stare at me, but I get up and sometimes I got to pee. So I do it really fast. I do it really quick. I get it out quickly and that's my trick. I don't know what I'm saying and I don't even even care. Like I said, it's all about the people out there. And that's the way I do it.
Wow.
If anybody needs me, if you don't remember my name, you can find me at PerryFunny.com.
Perry, thank you. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm a big fan and I would love to see you in person. But thank you for taking time out to enlighten my audience. I'm sure there's a stand-up comedian who's going to be listening and take some of your advice and go, wow, I'd never thought of that.
It's a great life.
Perry, thank you so much. And you have a wonderful Sunday evening. And thank you once again.
All right, you take care.
All right. Wow, what an incredible man with an incredible story. Never worked a day in his life because he enjoys what he's doing, making people laugh. If you'd like more information on Perry Kurtz, just go to his website. It's perrykurtz.com, PerryKurtz.com. PerryKurtz.com. Thank you so much, Perry, for being on my show. It was amazing, and I loved having this conversation. Next up is Wendy Elaine Wright, the Hollywood talent manager. If you're new to Hollywood, you don't know what to do, tune in. She's going to tell you exactly what to do to get your career up and running and not to waste 3 or 4 years doing it. Then coming up after Wendy is a gentleman named Chris Gaunt, who made all his money in the corporate world and after the age of 50 decided to get into this business, and now he's producing feature films and not only starring in them, doing commercials, he's out there kicking ass and taking names. So you definitely want to tune in to listen to Chris Gaunt. Just a small micro mini update on myself. I did dig up all my VHS tapes, digitized them, and made an acting demo reel, JohnnyKeith.com. If you want to check it out, it's also on the Internet Movie Database on Johnny Keith, KEATTH. Now, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn, CastOn, and 50 other places you can hear this show, please like it, review it, please leave a comment. Thank you in advance for doing that. I was sincerely, truly appreciate it. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Actors Podcast. I'm Johnny Keith, your host. Now we're going to end this episode, like we end every episode, with something called The Lesson. Because life is a bitch. Gee, really? Why don't you tell me something I don't already know? Because everywhere I go, people tell me what to do. Hey, go to church, go to school, you treat me like a fool. Now, I don't need religion, culture, class. You don't like that fact, well, you can kiss my ass. Yeah, I'm white and I rap. You got a problem with that? Loosen up and don't be so uptight. Take it easy, E. We got the whole night. Yes, I'm psyched. I'm ready to get the show on the road. I don't want to stop because I just might explode. I'll tell you what, home slice. I'm twice as nice than any bad boy rapper called Vanilla Ice. My lesson, yeah, it's hip. In case you didn't know what I'm here to inform ya, I'm better than snow. I don't moonwalk or dunk like these Michael J's, but I can hold my own. You hear what I say? Now listen, learn, cause here comes the lesson. Lesson one. Everybody sit down, JK's gonna take you for a ride uptown. Yo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame. Now when it comes to pot, crack, tweak, or blow, stick to the rules and just say no. Because you're young, you're eager, you want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up the booty, cause they'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul, is somewhere on the shelf. And you're walking through the streets now, talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson one, it's time for lesson two. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the hell does it all end? Every time I turn around, I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a 5 line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life spun out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to hell with this, all man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson. Yeah, final lesson here, of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottle. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle on the climb to the top. It's the same old games. Now I'm kicking ass and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, that was a long, hard crawl. But it was all worth it. I'm a box office draw. Opportunity was there when I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. You can be like me enjoying fame and fortune. Boom. boom. That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Peace out. Thank you for tuning in to Actors Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode, bye-bye.